Earlier this week, Donald Trump spent his day off from his criminal trial in New York to visit Wisconsin for a rally in Waukesha. During the speech, Trump repeated his lie that the 2020 election was stolen.
The radical left Democrats rigged the presidential election in 2020, and we're not going to allow them to rig the presidential election in 2024. We won't have a country left.
Again, the 2020 election was not stolen, but we show you that clip because the big lie relates to a rule change currently being proposed by the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The rule would determine how close election observers can get to voters when they cast a ballot at the polls. And Republicans recently announced they plan to recruit 100,000 election observers nationwide in an effort to, quote, make sure that victory can't be rigged. Joining us now is Eileen Newcomer, voter education manager at the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So first, let's start with what an election observer is and why would the Republicans want to recruit another 100,000 of them for 2024?
Sure, yeah. And one thing that I think is important to know that here in Wisconsin, election observers have more access than they have in other states. But with that access comes additional regulations and responsibilities of election observers. So an election observer is anyone who's interested in seeing how elections are run. They can go into the polling place and observe what's happening. They can observe during early voting. They can observe the pre-election equipment testing, audits, recounts, a whole bunch of different things. And I think it's a really great opportunity for anyone who wants to learn more about how our election system works to go and be an observer so that they can see for themselves how it works.
So I've obviously covered the polls at prior elections. Election observers are not new, as you've said. And most of the time, they just kind of sit in a chair in the corner and don't do very much. Many of the ones I've spoken to on prior election days say they're quite bored. Well, what kind of fraud or rigging are they supposed to be looking for?
I know that we train our election observers to understand what the normal process looks like so that they can identify if there's a deviation of the normal process. And if it's it can be something as simple as the registrar not fully understanding all of the proof of residence options and wrongfully sending some away because they thought that something that was an acceptable proof of residence option isn't. And so, like, in that situation, we would talk to the chief inspector, and often it's just solved right there. So it really is kind of the minutiae and mechanics of elections that observers are there to witness and to see. And to the comment about they're not really doing that much, they really are there to observe, to witness, to document, to report things that they see, to if they want to escalate it, if they're, you know, not certain about something. And that really has been something that's been happening in our state for many, many years. I know the League has been running our election observer program for over 10 years now. So
let's talk about the rule change, because part of this has to do with how far away an election observer needs to be from the voter or from certain areas, and it's this range of 3 to 8 feet. Why is that important, and what difference can that make?
Sure, and I do want to clarify something. The 3 to 8 foot rule for election observers is actually in statute. So that's not something that is really going to change with this proposed rule, because that's in the law, and the Elections Commission can't supersede something that is in state law. I think the 3 to 8 foot range is there to give poll workers some flexibility of where to station election observers, where they can see what's happening, but not interfere with the voting process, not interfere with poll workers who are trying to conduct the elections, not interfere with voters who are there to cast their ballot and exercise their right to vote. And I do think that 3 to 8 feet is enough space for you to see what's happening and what's going on. I do know that some people want to be closer, but 3 feet is really a short distance even of itself, and you can see what's happening with the current guideline that's in place.
Now, these rules apply to all scenarios, not just the voting booth on election day, as you mentioned. And there's central counts where there's been a lot of controversy, specifically the city of Milwaukee. If there's a recount, there election observers can be in those places as well. What kind of roles do they play there, like, as far as like witness signatures and absentee ballots? And what kind of, I don't want to say chaos, but what could happen if someone who's untrained or new people coming in trying to create this image of fraud that may not be real, what could happen if they're there?
Sure. So if somebody is at central count, I know the things that we train our observers to look out for is just making sure that they are properly processing the ballots, not counting them before 8 p.m. because that those are the rules, and so we want to make sure that that is being conducted fairly. And then we're also keeping an eye out for, if ballots are being rejected, why are they being rejected? That could be because there's a missing witness address on the absentee ballot certificate. Maybe the voter didn't sign. Things like that are the kinds of things that we're looking for there. And the way that it does run and really should run is that observers, if they have an issue, they have a point of contact of who they talk to figure out more information about that issue, whether maybe it's their misunderstanding of how things should be operating, or if it is a legitimate concern, then they can be addressed in real time. With that, you know, point of contact, it also means that the observers should not be talking to every individual poll worker who's at the location and disrupting their work as well. And then also the chief inspector, or in the case of Central Count, usually the clerk is the one running them, they maintain control of the location. So if they ask somebody to leave because they're being disruptive, that person is required to leave. So there are a lot of safeguards to make sure that people can witness what's going on and see how transparent our process is. But if they're unruly or disruptive, to have those people leave so that the elections can still go on.
Is there a role for observers to observe other observers in this sense? Maybe people who are new to this process and don't know what they can object to or how they can interfere or insert themselves into the middle of the voting process?
Certainly. I know our observers, they monitor everything that's going on, including if there are other observers there and if they're being disruptive. And if they're being disruptive and, you know, nobody's doing anything about it, they will escalate that to the chief inspector and say, hey, you're responsible for maintaining this polling place. This person is being incredibly disruptive. Maybe they're intimidating a voter. Maybe they're preventing a poll worker from doing their job, and that person should leave. And at that point, if the chief inspector doesn't do anything, we do have routes to escalate that further and make sure that the calmness of the polling place is maintained.
We've got just a few seconds left, but talk to me about this rule and whether you believe it'll actually be in place by this fall, because the legislature can wipe out rules at a moment's notice. There's all sorts of lawsuit threats out there.
Yeah, we really support the rule as drafted. We know there's been a lot of work that's gone into it. A lot of voices have been listened to in drafting the rule itself. I'm always hopeful that it'll be in place by the fall elections, but realistically, it probably won't be in place until next year, just because the legislature has ended their session. So I think that's where it's at right now.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah, that was so fast. Cool.
That was actually a longer segment. I'm glad that we were able to get all that in there. I know our audience cares deeply about these things, and they don't always understand who each person is at the polls. And with this new potential influx of people coming in, I know that having a group like yours that knows what they're doing and knows what they're supposed to be watching helps to have our viewers understand what's going to happen.
Sure, good. Yeah, I know we didn't get to talk about this, but some things that are also helpful to know are that you have to be a eligible Wisconsin voter to have a challenge, and so that might be something that you want to talk about in the future, because
there have been out-of-state observers that have come
in. You can come and observe if you are out of state, any interested person, but if you want to issue a challenge against a voter's right to vote, you have to be an eligible Wisconsin voter, and you have to have personal knowledge that person can't vote.
Interesting.
And so if you're out of state, how would you can't challenge, and then how would you have personal knowledge about somebody?
All right. Well, that is, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that we'll definitely look at for this fall.
Okay.
So when are your trainings? Do you have some coming up?
So our training will happen, I think, 2 or 3 weeks before the November election. So we're planning on having another statewide program run for the November election. We may have a smaller scale one for August, but that's still kind of being determined based on need and if there are priority areas.
Okay. Well, we'll probably be in touch with you as we get closer then.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'd be happy to come back.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. If you can find your way out of